Episode 148, Marvel Studios acquires the rights to Daredevil, and other news.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono. We are back.
Back for another episode of the Sci-Fi Christian. And Ben, we're so close. How close are we now to the episode 150?
We're merely two episodes away. Yeah, two episodes away.
We have something big planned. In fact, The next episode after... So right now you're about to hear some news, hear some listener feedback.
Yeah, that's all good.
Then episode 149 will be a time loop episode, which everybody's been clamoring for another time loop. So here it is. We're bringing it back. Yeah. And this one's going to be our first episode.
So this one's worth listening to. Because I was listening to it last night in preparation for the show today, and it's kind of fun to go back and listen.
It's interesting how some things have really changed and some things are exactly the same.
Did you listen to it at all?
Yeah, I listened to it this morning.
So there's no... Our transition music isn't there. It's just R2-D2 throughout.
Yeah.
And we didn't have our timing down on the intro, so we come in way later than we usually do.
I know. I talked so calm at the beginning of the episode.
I know. We were trying to be, professional.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian.
Yeah.
Bringing you theology at warp speed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what you're listening to now is a far better product, but it's still fun to look back.
Made me feel a little nostalgic.
Yeah.
You know, the days before Kofi came into our lives and every which we have a little news on that, but we'll get to that.
We have some huge news.
That's top news of the day.
Top news of the day, except for the Daredevil stuff. But
this was like secret top news of the day.
You have just a few days. I'm going to release this tonight, so editing. This is going out tonight. You have a few days to get us your top 20 list. So we're going to put together a top 100 sci-fi TV shows, but we're basing on you, the listeners, top 20
list. Yeah.
So send us your top 20. It doesn't have to be in any specific order. We'll give rankings to the shows that get the most votes. And then sometime this summer, we'll release the top 100 after we do the algorithm to get this thing happening. Yeah. So
we got some intense algorithms.
You only have until the end of April. If you send it to me on May 2nd, I'll be angry, but I'll likely accept it.
Yeah.
But officially, the deadline is April 30th.
Maybe any votes for Star Trek don't count
after
the end of April.
Okay, yeah. Perfect.
So if you're going to vote for Star Trek, which I didn't like in the first place, and I tried to ban, but you resisted.
I'm sorry.
No votes for... In fact, every vote for Star Trek after April 30th is minus 10 for Star Trek.
Deal.
Yeah, sounds great.
Theo's list going strong.
Yeah, so that's really, really strong.
Actually, let's just do it. Let's just talk about this news. So
do you want to hit the music?
Yeah, but I want to do a little talk about Theo's list first.
Well, yeah, for sure.
And here it is.
It's time for sci-fi news.
Best news of the year.
So I wanted to talk about Theo's list real quick just to bring the public awareness back to it. So it's like a Craigslist, but for the sci-fi Christian community, where you can sell sci-fi themed things.
Yeah.
You can trade them if you want. You can do some bartering. And so people have been posting things up there like crazy. And Ben, you posted something this week.
I did. I posted an ad for our good buddy Gordy.
What about, how could you post that for Kobe? You posted one on his behalf, you mean?
Yeah, well, kind of. I posted one just saying that, I don't have the text right up here in front of me, but basically just saying that, if anybody was looking for a podcast, start a podcast, they need a host. I mean, we've have an abundance of hosts here at the Sci-Fi Christian. I wanted to be generous, so I offered to trade one of our hosts. But because I knew people would take, you or me or Daniel, I wanted to specify that the host that they could have would be Colby himself. So
how'd that go?
Well, I was actually a little surprised because, you kind of, and something like this, you're prepared to haggle. And so I put out my opening price, which was 5 cents or a trade. And I was willing to go a lot lower. In fact, I was willing to pay, 10, 20 bucks for somebody to take him. And it turns out that there was a bit of a bidding war that took place within the comment thread. And long story short, our good friend Casey is now a new host at Strangers and Aliens.
So congratulations, Strangers and Aliens podcast. You just acquired the rights to your fifth host.
Yeah.
Because they've already got the three guys. They got Shazbot, the robot, and now Kobe.
Yeah. So, I'm sure there's a lot of mixed emotions for us at the Sci-Fi Christian saying goodbye to our little buddy. Do you have a favorite memory?
I think my favorite Kobe memory is his first appearance in the show, which was episode 12.
Yeah.
And it was all about, he won the, here's how it happened. He was a listener and he said, I want to do an episode on Bigfoot and evolution. And we're like, all right, well, come in and we'll talk about it. And when he got here, that's literally all he had to say about it. It was just Bigfoot and evolution. There, no real main points. So Ben and I were left just trying to come up with an episode based on that. And so we talked about Sasquatch. We talked about the Yeti. Turned out to be kind of a fun episode.
It was our first bomb.
Talked about dragons.
It was our first bad episode.
So that's, what about you? What's your favorite Kobe memory?
This one. This is really good, actually. You know, I feel, you know, I'm just happy for him to get a new opportunity to branch out a little bit. It's always good to have somebody expand their horizons. And for as tough as it is to say goodbye, I think I will find room in my heart to let what's his name go.
Yeah, and in many ways, he's actually been promoted because you had him on the Z Squad, and now he's on Strangers and Aliens, which is a Sci-Fi Christian's B Squad.
Yeah, but given that he's below Shazbot, I think that means that he's like the Z Squad of the B Squad. He's down there.
That decision's out of our hands at this point. It's up to Strangers and Aliens to decide that. So Ben Avery, Dr. Jace, Steve, just let us know when we can hear Kobe's first appearance on your show, and we'll make sure to point people in your direction.
Yeah, but in the meantime, you know, I've got we've left his biography up on the website for maybe another few days. We'll probably take it down pretty soon.
If you want to read Kobe's biography, the description of his contributedness, do it quickly because it's pretty entertaining and there's not much time left.
Yeah, because we can't leave, you know, we like to keep things tidy on the Sci-Fi Christian website, which is why you and I both have radically outdated profile pictures.
Oh, I know. It still says I'm a youth director at Epic Life Church.
And there isn't even an Epic Life Church to direct youth at.
What are you? What does it say about you?
I think I took out my bit about being a pastor because it was probably confusing for people. Because I'm all Catholic and everything now, so gotta keep that straight.
I should probably go update that this week.
Yeah, but anyway, we're gonna get rid of Kobe's bio. Gordy's bio out there, and this is your chance to say goodbye.
So interestingly, you tagged Kobe in the ad. Is anyone looking to start a podcast or expand your roster of hosts? The Sci-Fi Christian is selling Kobe. And you tagged him when it said Kobe. Yeah. And he never responded. So he just sat by and let all this happen.
I guess that he was excited about it. You know, he just kind of realized it's out of his hands.
He hasn't. Yeah. I don't know that he actually listens to episodes he's not on. I'm not positive he knows about this transaction.
Well, that's okay. I mean, the important thing is he's gone. And we're happy for Strangers and Aliens.
I'm still going to have Kobe on. We have some episodes planned together. Like,
no.
Just as a little tease. Ben,
nobody wants to hear this episode.
Ben, you've heard a little bit about this. Kobe and I are going to do a superhero spotlight on the Power Rangers.
Okay, that's going to be the worst episode in the history of the Sci-Fi Christian.
No, because I talked to him one night, and I'm like, what are some of your specialty areas? And Power Rangers, he has seen every episode of every incarnation of the Power Rangers.
And that, friends, is why we sold him. Right there. And if you want to know why he's gone, there's many reasons, but that one's as good as any.
I'm not making this up. I think exactly what he told me is, I think he bought Netflix just so he could catch up on all of the past Power Rangers.
Wow.
But, I mean, it's interesting.
This guy.
It's good to be behind something. Let's go on to the next piece of news.
I just want to say, you know, if people want to post their lasting memory, so let's do it this week. Otherwise, you know, we're just going to shut the door on that era of the Sci-Fi Christian and move on to a roster of purely coherent hosts. So goodbye, Kobe.
And just for the record, I think not everybody in the Sci-Fi Christian team agrees with your stance on Kobe, Ben.
Really?
Yes, that's true. I'm not going to fight with you here on the show, but
I think everybody agrees when it comes right down to it.
All right, let's go.
I think Daniel would have defended him once upon a time, but then the G.I. Joe episode happened, and he's lost a lot of supporters lately.
That relationship really disintegrated.
Yeah, so I think this is for the best. It's what needed to happen.
Let's talk about some Marvel movie news. Iron Man's coming out this week.
Yeah.
You just found out that I wasn't going to see a midnight showing with you. I didn't know that.
Said you were going to. But then you pulled out, man.
I didn't know that that was on our radar. I'm sorry.
No. You emailed me like a couple weeks ago and said, hey, you know, you want to do a midnight showing for my birthday?
Yes.
Iron Man 3. And I said, yes.
That does sound familiar. I'm sorry. This is my fault.
I feel so betrayed.
You're right.
I might sell you on Theo's list this week.
That does sound familiar. I don't remember sending that email, but I believe you. I I did make some plans to see it with my Bible study guys. I would be happy to see it more than once.
When are you going with your Bible study guys?
Definitely not Midnight Showing though, because Midnight Showings are the worst.
Well, yeah, they are.
Because I just terrible. So I'm turning 31 this coming Sunday. Wow. So we're just 6 days away, and my body's changing. I cannot stay awake late and not feel like crap the next day.
Yeah.
So, like, even right now, I was only up until midnight last night, and I have a horrendous headache as we speak.
It's kind of like puberty part two.
I don't know. I'm not sure if that's exactly accurate.
Undergoing some bodily changes.
It's just that I get tired.
Yeah.
I need my rest.
When are you going with your Bible study, guys?
Probably Sunday. Will that work for you if you want to come with us?
No, that won't work. We're going to have to go Saturday.
I could maybe see it Saturday if you want.
Yeah, we could probably do that.
We should see if Daniel and Kobe.
You want? No, not him. It should just be the Sci-Fi Christian host. You know, he's going to have to adjust to life outside the group.
It might be fun to see if Kobe wants to see it with us.
I don't think it would be fun. I think that having him along is kind of the opposite of fun.
Oh, well, we can talk about this off the air.
It's
so, like, Iron Man coming up this weekend.
It's like a negative fun moment.
Before we go to Iron Man, we should talk about Daredevil since that was the main news of the day.
Okay.
So, Daredevil. It was owned by Fox, I think.
Somebody, yeah.
Fox had the rights. They took too long to pull the trigger on that movie, and now Marvel and Disney have it back. So Daredevil could eventually be in the Avengers movie.
I'm actually pretty psyched about this because Daredevil is probably my favorite Marvel superhero.
That's shocking.
Yeah, he's awesome.
But I'm just saying it's shocking based on your stance on blind people.
I'm pro-blind people. I just don't get how they use the internet. It's really confusing, man.
That's a callback to a past episode. You'll have to scour the archives to find out that reference.
Yeah, so nobody needs to send me articles on how blind people
that
use the internet, because we've been there, done that.
Yeah, so Daredevil, he's pretty good. He's not like the best.
No, he's like Marvel's Batman.
I don't get why you think he's good. Give me three points.
I just explained, he's like Marvel's besides Batman. That, he's the vigilante, tragic past. I like the whole idea. I think a blind superhero is pretty cool. I think he's a lot grittier than other superheroes in the fold. I even like the Ben Affleck movie quite a bit. I think it's not a great movie, but it's not a bad movie either. Certainly a lot better than Thor and Captain America.
I think I'd be fine if they make an Avengers movie, but okay, so here's something weird about the Marvel movies right now.
Yeah.
I like that Marvel owns the rights to their own movies, but I don't like the fact that they feel like they have to tie everything into the Avengers.
Right.
And so I'm sure Daredevil at some point in Marvel history has been an Avenger.
Everybody has.
Yeah. But he seems like more of a standalone character. He doesn't need to be on a team.
I agree. Keep Daredevil standalone, which of course won't happen. But even so, it'll be fun to see him, even if it is as a tie into the Avengers.
Yeah, because they've already started to talk about Phase 3. Daredevil's not a part of Phase 3 necessarily. Maybe he will be, but yeah, I. What if Phase 3 wasn't working up to another Avengers movie, but it was just a set of good movies?
Well, I don't know that they're all going to be good movies, because presumably you're going to have Thor and Captain America in there, which are just determined to suck. And probably Guardians of the Galaxy, that's Phase 3, and that's going to suck. But outside of your adjective good, I think you're on the right idea there.
Thank you. And so, speaking of Iron Man 3 coming out this weekend, Daniel Butcher has called us with some news about Iron Man 3.
All right.
So why don't you press play and we'll take it away.
Here he comes.
Hey, boys. Heard you missed me. Well, I got some bad news for Ben. More news. More. Iron Man 3 hasn't even debuted in the United States. And it's already made $195 million buckaroos. A lot of moolah, and it hasn't even hit a domestic audience yet. So here's my guess. It's more. Clearly there's gonna be more. There's gotta be more. It may not be Iron Man, but there'll definitely be more with the Marvel name in front of it. More. Sorry, man. Hey, in other news, you know, based on that box office, you know, must be pretty good. Maybe even the greatest. All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Peace out later, bye.
Thanks, Daniel. I appreciate that call. Good to hear from you again. Ben, will it be the greatest Iron Man?
Yes. I'm going on record and I'm going to say I am cautiously optimistic about this.
What happened?
I just... my stance has never been that all the Marvel movies are bad. I just don't like the overall flow of the product, where they're going for cheap thrills over depth. But I have faith that this one is going to be a huge improvement over Iron Man 2, probably even an improvement over the first Iron Man. I think they might even get a little depth in there thematically. So I am going to go on record predicting 4 stars out of 5 for this movie.
Wow. I'm going to predict a 5-star rating out of 5.
Of course you are.
If you're interested in listening to Ben dismiss blind people's ability to use the internet, check out episode 74,
yeah,
titled Dark Knight Rises Prophecies, where we predicted what we thought would happen.
Yeah.
So never had we received so much feedback.
I don't get it. You're blind. How can you look at a computer screen? It's not like a slam against them. I mean, I feel bad for them. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me. You know, you don't, blind people don't get to do everything.
Okay.
They don't get to drive cars. They don't get to fly planes. You know, it's just a lot of things you don't get to do because you're blind. And it seems like one of those things would be the internet. Apparently I'm wrong. I don't understand how, but I accept it.
What do you make of the movie Another Earth moving up 1 week?
I didn't know it did.
Oh, well, it moved up 7 whole days into, now it's the last week of May instead of the first week of June.
Are we going to go see that one?
I don't want to make you any promises that I'm going to forget.
Oh, man, we don't know. We don't have to do a midnight showing, but I want to get back to sci-fi Christian movie reviews on video.
Okay.
Now, if you want to podcast the audio from the video, you can do that.
That is a good idea.
But we got to get back to doing the video because we're nailing it every week with these Game of Thrones.
Oh, so
videos,
it might be good for the whole.
Exactly. Okay, we got to keep our video feed going.
So usually I save listener feedback for the listener feedback section. But listen to this. Dave Johnson wrote in and said, have you guys thought about uploading your shows to YouTube? You don't have to use video. Just have the show's thumbnail as a video. It would be good for you because you could see numbers and the audience stats and even make money from ads. It would be good for the audience because it gives them another way to listen to the show. Just a suggestion. You already have a YouTube channel. I think it could grow your audience even further.
I kind of like that idea. What do you think of it?
I think it's a good idea. It just seems time-consuming. Like, we don't want to...
I'm thinking maybe not every episode, but maybe if we have just a good episode.
Maybe just the main topics?
Yeah.
Okay. Not a bad idea, Dave. I appreciate that. Definitely. I know Sci-Fi Diner does that. In fact, Colin from the UK is the Sci-Fi Diner's guy that they have that he personally uploads them all to YouTube for them.
So we need to get a guy.
Yeah.
Noah?
Noah? We're going to read some feedback from Noah later.
Yeah, in fact, he's sending us in a donation.
What about Dave? He just had a second child. He's got plenty of time.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Congratulations, Dave.
Noah sent in a donation?
Yeah, that's what he said.
We promised him that we would read his entire email if he did.
I know. And he wants the 2 prize videos, too.
I don't think he gave us enough for that.
He said he did. He said he gave us $10.
Whoa. Is that how much? I think we need more than that for those 2 prize videos.
I'm willing to send Noah the prizes.
Okay, but then we're going to have to give him the next week's listener feedback because I've already outlined what we're talking about this week.
Okay, Noah.
Next week.
We promise.
Next week.
We promise.
It's long. Did you read it?
Yeah, man.
It's all about bronies.
I know.
The whole thing.
It's not the all about bronies.
Basically.
He's got some good stuff in there.
All right. Next week, listener feedback is brought to you by Noah.
Okay.
Only. Nobody else.
We should, you know, we've talked about Noah writing for the site sometime. We should just make that his first article on the website.
So just release it as is?
We could.
We could clean it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But he did include some pictures, so okay. Let's do some...
What one are you talking about? I'm talking about the one from a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, me too.
There was no pictures.
There was. Let's talk about it off air. Okay, this is actually noteworthy, and people should know about this. The Man of Steel is coming out in June, but they've just announced that Walmart is doing some sort of deal. Do you know about this, Ben?
I do not.
Okay, this is actually for real news. Walmart, you're going to have to go there on the morning of Saturday, May 18th. If you go there, they're selling advanced tickets.
There is a picture in there.
Yep.
Sorry, Noah.
That's okay. They're selling advanced tickets to see the Man of Steel, not on June 14th, but on June 13th, a day early.
Are we going to go do that?
No.
What?
The tickets will be for a June 13th screening. So this is huge. And plus, there's some other things. Like you get pre-order a special version of the movie with other features. Let's see. I think, I don't know. Anyways, check this out. Go to Walmart on May 18th if you're interested in the Man of Steel. I think this is a great idea.
Yeah, so we're not going to go see Man of Steel together?
Well, we can talk about our planning for the summer. Let's talk about it off the air.
I think we need to. I just don't know how to feel about all this.
I'm just saying now that I'm engaged, I have like her and
well, I abandon my wife and kids all the time to go to movies.
But and then we kind of have this because we met a Bible study, as our listeners know. So we kind of have this whole group of friends that like to see movies, and nice to go with my fiance. But you understand.
Why don't we form a new group? Ditch the Bible study.
Okay, and
You, me, Dez, Annie,
Annie,
yeah, whoever else, Daniel,
Kobe.
No,
no,
not that guy. Okay, he's not part of the group.
This is further news when it comes to Man of Steel. Zack Snyder, they're saying he's going to be asked to direct Justice League if the Man of Steel is a success. Is this? I mean,
they keep
bringing this news back and forth, and now it's like the way this news was stated is it's a fact. Like execs have basically said as much. What do you think?
I think until they actually sign somebody, I'm not interested in Justice League rumors. I do think there's probably some truth. They're waiting to see how Man of Steel does, but there's just been so much crap floating around, and we've gotten burned by passing it along, mm-hmm. and so I'm calling for responsible reporting on the Sci-Fi Christian.
Two more Marvel news. Gwyneth Paltrow says that she doesn't think there's going to be an Iron Man 4. Robert Downey Jr. has gone on record saying he's going to probably retire after Avengers 2. And now further Avengers news, Joss Whedon teased that there's going to be a brother-sister team in Avengers 2. Do you know who this might be?
No.
Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch.
Oh.
Do you know those characters?
Not really.
They're the son and daughter of Magneto, so they're mutants.
Oh.
So Marvel must co-own the rights to these characters with Fox. Otherwise, they should be in the X-Men series.
Yeah. Yeah. Less characters, Josh. More depth. That should be the motto for Avengers 2.
I can't remember if I asked you this on a previous episode, but I'm curious. If Robert Downey Jr. retires from the Iron Man role,
yeah,
should they kill him? Did I ask you this on the last show? Should they kill him off, or should they replace him?
I don't think they have to do either. Just let him lie dormant for a while, and then either replace him with a new actor or, you know, rewrite the con. I don't know. But
no, not reboot. I want him to just keep going forward. So this is that's a good idea. Just don't talk about Iron Man for a while.
Yeah.
Bring up some other characters. And then when Iron Man shows back up in the scene, then it's okay if there's another actor.
Exactly.
Good thinking, Ben. Ben is right.
That's right. I am right. Always.
All right. Take it.
Well, I'm going to save the music till our listener feedback section.
Okay. No, take the next piece.
Oh, okay. Kathleen Kennedy, the executive producer, of course, of the Star Wars extravaganza saga, mm-hmm. has said that the production of Episode 7 will embrace transparency.
I know.
Not something J.J., I'm not going to tell you anything, Abrams is known for.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
What do you think of this, Matt?
Well, their stance is that it's been working for Marvel, and every picture, there's just a multitude of fan frenzy over what does this mean when they release these set photos, and it's just creating a lot of buzz for the movies. So money-making-wise, I can see why they do it. J.J. Abrams, of course, likes to keep secrets, so much so that he will sometimes build like forts around his set so people can't see what's happening.
That's a little messed up.
So, yeah, it'll be different for him. But I think you were right when you said last week he's just going to do the first Star Wars and then we probably won't see him direct anymore.
Yeah.
In fact, I think there is an 80% more chance that he'll direct Star Trek 3 than he'll direct Star Wars Episode 8.
I agree with you on that. I'm just so over J.J. Abrams' nonstop secrecy. I think it's nonsense, and I don't think it really accomplishes a whole lot, so I was very happy to see this news. I'm happy to see somebody putting him in his place. Take that, J.J.
Take that, science. Do you want to do that next?
Sure.
Take that, science.
All right. Ben, you have me take that science this week? Or should I ask
I don't. Go for it.
All right. Well, just one little piece of take that science news. Looks like a new discovery on Europa could lead to finding alien life.
Hey!
Do you know Europa? One of Jupiter's moons?
I thought it was one of Saturn's.
Nope, Jupiter.
No, that's Titan. That's Saturn's moon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
do you ever feel like we got gypped in the moon category?
Yeah, because we just have one, and we call it moon?
I mean, that kind of sucks. It's like Saturn has three or four, and Jupiter has a bunch, and, you know, you've got all these planets just going crazy with moons, and we've got one stinking moon.
And we didn't even give it a name.
Moon.
I mean,
yeah. What the heck? We should find a way to launch a second moon.
Okay. Interesting. Wouldn't that mess up our gravity?
Probably, but I mean, it would be worth it.
So listen to this. Scientists have believed for a while now that Jupiter's moon Europa could be home to a large subterranean ocean and that the ocean could be home to alien life.
All right.
The trouble is we haven't been able to get close enough to Europa yet to prove that. But now a new study has revealed some interesting news. Using data from the Keck 2 telescope, two of these scientists have determined that Europa's surface was giving off a signal that appears to be from magnesium sulfate on the moon's surface. Based on their analysis, the scientists determined that the chemical compound was coming from a reaction between salt water bubbling up from Europa's subterranean ocean and sulfur given off by Europa's largest moon, Io.
Yeah. Wait, so their moons have moons?
No, it's just, there's just another moon called Io. Yeah. How do you say it? How would you pronounce Io?
Io, yeah. I have a question for you, Matt.
Wait, so here's a wrap-up. It looks like Europa's pretty good bet for extraterrestrial life these days. What are the odds that we will actually find something there, Ben? What do you think?
I don't think we will.
Okay.
So I have a question for you.
I'm ready.
So one of the theories, based on my memory of astronomy, so I could be totally wrong on this. I want to just throw that out there. But one of my memory of astronomy is that one of the theories for how the moon was formed is that a giant asteroid crashed into the Earth and part of the Earth broke away and formed the moon.
I don't think that's true. I've never heard that before.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
But our planet's already round, and I think we would know if there was a piece missing.
Yeah, I don't know how it worked exactly. I just know that, you know, maybe it was part of the asteroid or something.
Okay.
But let's just go with what I originally said, because that works better for my question.
All right.
If we were going to launch part of planet Earth into space to be Moon 2.
Canada.
Okay.
what would you say?
I'm good with Canada. I didn't really ever. I mean, Canada's kind of a nice area.
But I am still bitter about the Cold War.
Yeah.
And Russia did send up the first satellite, was it? Or what did Russia do that was like important in the space race?
Yeah. Sputnik. Yeah.
So why not send up Russia?
Okay, I like that idea.
Now
that I've said this out loud, I don't think this sounds like a very accurate theory for how the moon was formed after all. But I like
because actually Canada's not so bad.
No.
Our friendly neighbor said north. But Russia, there's still some bad blood there. I don't think it would do any of us any harm if they were gone.
Yeah. Now, what I am certain of.
And I'm not saying we should attack them.
No.
I'm just saying, hypothetically, if there was a part of the Earth that was going to go up into the space, that wouldn't be the worst.
Yeah. Now, what I am pretty sure about, though.
We love everybody, though, Ben.
We're all about everybody. Is that I believe that it is true that the moon was somehow formed based on an asteroid and Earth and something going on with them. So with all these asteroids nearly missing us, it's not out of the realm of possibility that we could get a second moon.
If we do, though, everything will be messed up. The tides, the Earth will be destroyed.
Well, no, it's not going to be messed up. It's just going to be different. It's like a new coat of paint.
Speaking of The World's End.
Yeah.
Which is a movie coming out that you want to see.
Yeah.
The release date's been moved up. Do you know about this?
I do. I'm excited.
To July 19th in the UK, but domestically here, it's going to be August 23rd, and that's way up because it was October before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
I think it might have even been November.
Yeah. So you're excited about this more than me?
Absolutely.
I'm ready for your next piece of news.
A book that you have read and I have not.
Yes.
11/22/63.
Yes. Well, let's use the word "read" loosely because it was an audiobook.
By Stephen King is being made into a Bad Robot TV series
for cable television.
Yeah, I got to read this book. So really for cable. So J.J. Abrams going beyond. I missed that part. He's going beyond network TV.
It is
excellent.
Yeah.
What cable network?
Let me see if I can find that news. I don't know if I love this news. Because
you didn't like the book that much.
I liked it okay, but I don't see how it would be a sustainable TV show. I don't know. I think it'd make a better movie, probably, like a abbreviated version of what he did.
Yeah. Well, maybe the guy can go other places or something besides just.
Yeah. If they expand from the book and change it, then I think I'd like this idea better. I think the idea is interesting. I think it would get old fast.
Okay. So there are three theories on how the moon was formed.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Like the other planets, the Earth formed from the leftover cloud of, this is called the giant impact hypothesis. Okay. The early solar system was a violent place and a number of bodies were created that never made it into a full planetary status. According to the giant impact hypothesis, here we go, one of these crashed into the Earth not long after the young planet was created. Known as Thela, the Mars-sized body collided with Earth, throwing vaporized chunks of the young planet's crust into space. Gravity bound the ejected particles together, creating a moon that is the largest in the solar system in relation to its host planet. This sort of formation would explain my blah, 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 blah. So there we go. So, yeah. I was right.
Oh, wait.
That's exactly what I said.
You said it was a chunk of the Earth.
Yeah, that's what it said.
But so not an asteroid. It was an asteroid.
No, no, no.
An asteroid impacted Earth.
The asteroid Thala impacts Earth, throwing vaporized chunks of the young planet's crust into space.
Gotcha.
So I was right. So that's how the moon was formed. Well, that's one theory. Do you want to hear the other theories?
I think the question is, how many times can Ben be right in one episode?
A lot. Do you want to hear the other theories?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the... Well, we're teaching people here.
Let's do it.
Co-formation theory. Moons can also form at the same time as their parent planet. Under such an explanation, gravity would have caused material in the early solar system to draw together at the same time as gravity-bound particles together to form. So basically, the moon's going to form at the same time, and then they just dance around each other. And then the capture theory. And this one's probably our best shot of having a new moon, because I think that upon further review, the giant impact hypothesis, I think you're right, that would pretty much ruin the Earth as we know it.
Yeah.
That does not sound good for sustaining life. So the capture theory, as you might imagine, perhaps Earth's gravity snagged a passing body, as happened with other moons in the solar system. So, you know, an asteroid's going by, gets caught in our gravity, now it's in orbit. So,
not so bad.
I'd be in favor of that.
I don't think it's the worst thing ever.
Yeah. Let's get another moon, man.
Okay. Sounds good. Ben, do you ever watch How It Should Have Ended? Those kind of funny videos online.
Those are funny.
Okay. So basically, if you don't know, search How It Should Have Ended, and most of the popular movies that have come out in the last couple of years, and they've done cartoon versions that are just satirical, making fun of what happened in the movie and how it should have been better. Well, guess what?
What?
Stan Lee has teamed up with the guys from How It Should Have Ended.
Oh, my.
Yep. And here it is.
It's the Stan Lee quote of the week. Bing!
Stan's Brands.
Now that I've done so many unforgettable cameos, I have become an expert at all kinds of movies. One thing, though, that bothers me, so many of the endings of famous movies are wrong. Let me give you an example.
Ooh, this isn't good for audio.
Who's the force?
That's true.
Here's the target. No need for all that faster than sound flying through the tunnel.
Because this is funny if you're watching it, but not funny if you're listening to it.
Maybe we should pull out.
There.
Okay. Good thing, Ben. I think we should get a new one, but this is pretty funny.
Yeah, so go check that out, everyone.
It's the Stan Lee quote of the week.
All right. Well,
not the best Stanley quote of the week.
Instead, we're going to do this one. The reason I quickly looked for a different one, Ben, is because I'm pretty sure we've played this one on the episode before.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Stan's Brands.
The new Batman movie is coming out. They tell me that it's going to be darker and grittier. Like, I don't know, tough and gritty. I want to show you something. Give me a minute here, okay? You're looking at the real Stanley. You want to talk rough and tough? You want to talk nitty and gritty? You talk about Captain America. You talk about Iron Man. How do you think I dream most of them up? They're projections of me. But I couldn't make them rough enough because the comics code wouldn't have allowed it. That was the real Stan Lee. Don't mess with me here. Okay, that's it for now. Excelsior. Why, I've been through more and I've done more and I've caused more trouble and I've felled more foes than you could imagine.
It's the Stan Lee quote of the week. Bing!
What do you think?
Oh, I think he's crazy as always.
Yeah. I think we're starting to run out of Stan's rants. I've played a lot of them. So I think we're going to start going back to finding some interview clips to play for him.
Well, those are always fun.
Yeah, they're not so bad. All right, Ben, I don't have that much news left. In fact,
I just have one casting piece.
Oh, save it for Slew of Casting News. Yeah. Okay, let's do this. Slew of Casting News, last news of the day, and then listener feedback. Wow, we're rolling through this episode.
Yeah.
All right.
A Slew of Casting News.
Why don't you give me yours first, and I'll tell you if I'm for it or against it.
Okay. Actor I had to get his name up here. Lawrence Gillard Jr. from the first couple seasons of The Wire, the best show of all time, has joined what is definitely not the best show of all time, The Walking Dead, for season 4.
For it.
You don't know anything about the show?
No.
Or the actor?
No, but I like... I got no reason to say for it, okay. Other than I think The Wire, I've heard it's really good.
It's so good, yeah.
I'm Everybody says about this. Damon Lindelof loves it. You love it.
I love it.
I like both of your opinions.
Yeah. Whose do you like better?
Ben.
That's right.
Okay, for or against it. Bryan Singer has confirmed that in the movie X-Men Days of Future Past,
yeah,
that we will see Bishop?
Enough. Enough, Bryan Singer.
For it or against it?
Against it. No more.
And the, I believe this guy is a Native American X-Men whose name is Warpath.
Oh, well, that's good.
For it or against
it? I don't want to be against that one.
Okay. Lee Pace, who we both love from such shows as Pushing Daisies and Wonder Falls, he is in talks to play a villain called the Collector in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, no. No more. I'm sorry. I think Lee Pace is better than that. Stay out of that movie, Lee. Against it for your sake.
I'm for it, and I'm also for Bishop, but I'm against Warpath.
Well, a little racist there.
No, I just never really liked that character.
Probably because of his skin color.
No, that's not true. Next. Carrie Fisher at the Calgary Comic and Entertainment Expo has went on record to say this. She is definitely going to be in Star Wars, and here's a quote. I like being bought by Disney. Because they never wanted to buy me before.
What does that even mean?
For it or against it?
What does that mean?
For it or against it?
For it?
Okay.
I mean, I'm glad she's going to be in Star Wars, but I don't even know. That seems like some reference that we should get, but I don't get it.
A slew of casting news.
Last news of the day.
In today's last news of the day, I have a little bit of renewal news for TV shows on NBC.
Okay.
NBC has renewed, and I want you to do for it or against it. They've renewed the following. Revolution.
Against it.
Grimm.
Against it.
Parenthood.
Against it.
Chicago Fire.
Against it.
Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
Really against it.
Okay. I'm for Revolution, for Grimm, even though I haven't watched anything beyond the second episode, but I just like that genre show out there. And I'm very for Parenthood. Love that show. And all the rest against.
I really hope they renew Hannibal. It's so good. And, you know, I was telling you last week that they were going to release this episode. They skipped. They were just cutting out the ongoing
bomb references.
Well, yeah. No, they cut out just the overarching storyline for the entire season and released those parts as a standalone web series.
Okay.
It was actually really cool the way they did it. I mean, because it's like you miss out on all the stupid standalone stuff and just got the meat of the episode.
That would
great.
Almost be better.
Yeah, I loved it. So, Hannibal, if you haven't checked it out because you're sick of Hannibal Lecter, this is one of those cases where the Hannibal series has been guilty of oversaturation for so long, but it's not anymore. This is so well done and has really breathed new life into a franchise that was so dead.
You know, we have some reactions, too, when we talked about oversaturation last week.
I know.
And I've talked about this with some people since. A great conversation. I really liked what you said. Let's do it.
It's a trap.
Okay, I'm going to start with reading a positive comment.
Okay.
I appreciate... Oh, this is from Aaron Rainey, author, one of the co-authors of The Flight of the Angels. Aaron writes, I appreciated both of your comments on the morality of excess. About 6 months ago, my wife and I made the conscious effort to cut way back on the amount of media we consumed, and it was one of the best decisions we've ever made. Like you, Matt, there was a time when I was listening exclusively to an entertainment-based podcast. I trimmed most of those, though happily, the Sci-Fi Christian made the cut, and my wife and I committed ourselves to only keep up with a few shows that we considered to be high quality. It was surprisingly easy to let everything else go. Personally, I had been afraid of being left out of pop culture loop, but I found that I still managed to come across the best stuff out there, and I'm learning that it's okay to be a little ignorant about this movie or that show, especially if the alternative means wasting hours and hours of my time consuming mediocre material. In recent months, my wife and I have been growing much closer to God, and I think our media fast has been a significant part of that. I think you two are onto something here. As always, Ben is right.
I am right.
And he, you had sent them a link to a comparison of Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings, and it kind of followed through a little bit of this. Can you talk about that briefly so I can read his next comment?
Yeah, well, I think it kind of followed out of a longer conversation that he and I started having about, you know, okay, if we say that storytelling should be meaningful, how does that work with stuff that's maybe seems like it has a positive message but comes across as really shallow, and stuff that is really compelling but is dark and cynical like Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And this was a great article on youcatholic.com. They have kind of a book club thing, and the guy was comparing Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings and saying that, you know, these two stories really need to be read together, because Game of Thrones, where it's really dark and has a very cynical, almost hopeless outlook on the world, where nobility is punished and scheming and treachery is what gets you ahead, that really is true in a sense. It's true of the world after the fall. It's true of the hopeless world without Christ, whereas Tolkien's work looks forward to the world as it will be when it's redeemed. It looks forward to a world that has renewed hope because of Christ. And the point this article is making is that both of those sides are true. The problem is that we really need to read them in tension with one another, and that when we leave one out, we miss the fullness of the truth of the other.
Okay.
So I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah. And so he did comment on that article, but then he said something that I thought was pretty nice. He said, I probably shouldn't admit this in a public space, but the majority of what I know about...
Now we're going to read it for all of our listeners.
Well, he wrote it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, go for
this.
It
is live on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
But the majority of what I now know about Catholicism has come from various episodes of The Sci-Fi Christian. Your frank discussion with Matt has been insightful, entertaining, and thought-provoking. And Matt was... never was I more impressed with your talents as a host than during those Catholicism episodes. You asked serious, intellectually honest questions while keeping the entire conversation fun and lighthearted. Not an easy task, considering how divisive the Catholic-Protestant issue can be. All in all, you've given me and my dad a lot to think about. I know we've both come away from those episodes with a newfound appreciation and respect for our Catholic brothers and sisters.
Hey, well, good job, Matt.
Good job, Ben.
We did it.
So that was the nice side. Then,
oh man,
we got
I do create some fiery responses in people.
We also got a negative comment. This is basically to you.
Yeah.
Now, this is from Taylor.
Yeah. Now, he and I actually corresponded after this.
Okay. So I'll read what he said.
I'll just give the happy ending that we're still friends and everything. So me and Taylor are good. But I do like to read the fiery comments against me. So go for it.
I took issue with most of what Ben said about the morality of oversaturation. First off, calling Disney a bunch of money-grubbing crooks isn't really fair. I mean, they're a secular entertainment business. Every secular business wants to make lots and lots of money. That's what they do. People will pay to see more Star Wars movies, so they're going to make more Star Wars movies. They're not a nonprofit, for crying out loud. Give them a break. Also, there's a lot of good examples of awesome stories coming out of what we will call public demand for oversaturation. The Lord of the Rings is a big example. Tolkien wrote The Hobbit. People loved it, demanded more, so he wrote Lord of the Rings. Another example, I think I couldn't find a source for this, but I'm fairly certain I heard it in my Lewis class in college, is The Chronicles of Narnia. Lewis wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. People wanted more, so he wrote 6 more books. And besides, couldn't every single TV show fall into the definition of oversaturation? The network releases a pilot. If people like it and want more, the network makes a show. When people stop watching, the network cancels the show. That's how the entertainment industry works. Really, and here's my main point, I think the concept of oversaturation only exists in hindsight. If a company makes sequels or prequels and they're really good, we accept it as legitimate. If the sequel or prequel are bad, we say they oversaturated. For example, Star Wars Episode 4, pretty great movie. People loved it, so they made a sequel, Episode 5, which was even better than Episode 4. Everyone loves it, so they make Episode 6, which was pretty good. No problem. Naturally, they make Episode 1, which was a good idea, but it sucked. So you suddenly shout oversaturation. If Episode 1 had been as good as the others, there would have been no problem. If 2 and 3 had been equally good, you would be saying that Episode 7 is a great idea. But since they are bad, you cry oversaturation. Here's another main point. There are an unlimited number of good stories that can take place in the Star Wars universe. I think the Star Wars universe is a pretty awesome place, so why wouldn't I want to see more stories from there? I really don't think it's a moral issue from drawing our attention away from things worthwhile. Don't all movies distract us from God? I don't think that's true.
No, me neither.
I think the real issue is that after the prequels, you don't You just don't trust them to make a good movie anymore. But with J.J. Abrams at the helm, I really do trust them again. For now, we'll see what the future holds. Here's more. And if you want to discuss pressing moral issues...
Well, sure, should we respond? Let me respond to the first part first.
Okay, but this is getting good.
I know, it's going to get good. Because I don't want to lose either part of this. So what Taylor and I realized as we were corresponding is that he is defining oversaturation differently than I am. Oversaturation in my mind is not, or in my definition, is not about quantity so much as it is about quality and intent. So you could theoretically have a standalone, you know, one shot book, movie, whatever, but it's just being thrown out there to make money or, you know, to waste people's time and has no meaningful intent behind the story. And I'd consider that oversaturation. And by contrast, you could have a series of, you know, 50 books or whatever, but they're all being told in order to tell meaningful stories, and that's not oversaturation. So it's really, you remember, my complaint is not from the viewer's perspective, but from the producer's. And if you're producing stuff, I think you have a moral duty to make sure you're producing something meaningful. And I think once Taylor and I realized we got on the same page, we were good.
Good, good. Well, before you guys got on the same page, he wrote this.
Yeah, this is good.
And if you want to discuss pressing moral issues, how about your obvious hatred for Colby? And he did spell Kobe wrong. He spelled it Colby.
Yeah.
Likely not on purpose. Just because you disagree with a person in almost every matter of taste gives you no right to publicly insult their intelligence. I hate to say it, but you lost a lot of my respect when you started ranting about your hatred of that poor Disney-loving man. And I think that was a mistake, because Daniel
he's
is...
He's getting confused. I don't hate Daniel. No. I don't hate Kobe.
Daniel is a Disney-loving man.
Yeah.
Kobe likes Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Can't you at least acknowledge that he is an intelligent, rational individual with very different tastes from you?
I can acknowledge he's an individual.
I mean, you're a pastor, right?
Nope.
You seemed much more like a bully in this last episode.
Okay. Well, this was amusing. And Taylor and I closed the door. Oh, there's more. Okay.
Does this all make sense? Sorry if I sound like I'm scolding you two, or consider myself holier than thou. I just thought that Ben's accusation and sweeping generalizations were empty, and his very public dislike of Colby left a bad taste in my mouth. I'd still love to sit down and smoke a pipe with him, though, and I still really want to do a podcast with you.
I love that smoking a pipe with me is the olive branch. That's awesome.
Sincerely, Taylor.
Yeah, no, that's so great that's like, oh, well, you know, we disagree, but here's the olive branch. That's awesome. So a couple of things. No, I'm not a pastor. I was at one point. I am not anymore. So
you've definitely loosened up your morals since you stopped being a pastor.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm a Catholic, and I'm married, so there is no chance of me being a pastor.
Or a priest.
Priest, pastor, you know, same function, basically, in the Catholic world. So, a couple of things. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate
Colby.
I don't hate him. I think he's a fool with his opinions.
Oh.
I mean, I do. I think that he says things that are just... have no basis in reality, and instead of arguing them logically, he just reasserts his opinion.
I think that sometimes, though, to defend Colby,
yeah,
I think sometimes he just plays around to push the buttons just for the sake of
that might be
fun.
And that's
or
part
show.
Of what I told Taylor, you know, is that it's a bit, and we recognize here as hosts of the Sci-Fi Christian, former hosts as well, which he is, that, you know, we play off of each other and whatnot.
It is a bit with a hint of reality.
Yeah, I mean,
but like just with you and me, remember, we used to tease each other a lot, and it was all for the sake of the show. We're not the same exact characters in real life.
Exactly. I barely even know him in real life.
Yeah,
and when we've hung out a couple times, we get along. So, but on the show, it's like, listen to the whole G.I. Joe episode. Listen to his talk about The Rock. He doesn't actually argue his point with logic. He just says it, and it has no basis in fact. And when you point that out, he gets mad and just continues to say his same stupid point. Now, contrast that to somebody like Daniel, who I also disagree with on a lot of things, but argues with intelligence and logic and all that. So it's apples and oranges. And so that's why I make fun of the guy, because it's like, I do think that there is a modicum of intellectual responsibility that needs to take place when we're arguing our positions. Otherwise, you do just come across as foolish. And I think that deserves to be pointed out.
And I wouldn't call Colby a fool. That was a little strong.
Yeah, it was maybe a little strong. But in the context of the show, listen to the G.I. Joe episode. That's all I have to say. Listen to that episode. He comes across like something else, you know. And that doesn't mean he's a bad guy. That doesn't mean I hate him. That doesn't mean anything like that. It just means that in the context of the show, as fellow hosts and former hosts, well, I'm going to give him a hard time when he says crap like that. You get called on it here at the Sci-Fi Christian.
Doug Payton wrote in and said, if you guys ever do a Doctor Who episode, I want to be a guest host, guest co-host. Just getting my dibs in now. I think we're going to do it eventually.
I'm done with that.
You're going to be in charge of deciding who gets to be on that show, because I don't think I'll be on that episode.
Well, you're watching Doctor
Who. I'm barely into the first season with... I'm on like the third episode.
Oh, man. You got to pick it up.
Yeah. Hank Harwell.
Hey, Hank. Speaking of fans that we've gotten fights with. And I just want to say, Taylor and I aren't mad at each other. We're all good. We're going to smoke that pipe someday, Taylor.
Hank wrote, a friend pointed this out to me. Are zombies mentioned in the Bible? And this shall be the... Okay, sorry. I should tell you what the reference is. Zechariah 14:12. And this shall be the plague wherewith Jehovah will smite all the people that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouths. Ben, is that a zombie?
Nope.
Okay. Next.
We have a couple voicemails we could play.
I only have one thing to read left.
Should we do the voicemails first or reading first?
Let me get this over with.
Okay.
Andrew, who I was supposed to read last week, but I hadn't read his email all the way through, wrote, and it sounds like he was responding to a little bit of what we talked about in the episode. I don't remember, so I'm just going to read it. I'm interested in how our... Oh, yeah, here we go. I'm interested in... Okay, just to set the stage. You remember how I said I liked the Wizard of Oz movie just because I think the whole experience was fun? I was with Dez and a group of friends, and then we went, you know, it was just kind
of a movie watching group of friends who just sorry you away from me.
Sorry. And so
now that just, I've gotten rid of Colby, this might need to be the new feud.
It was just kind of a fun experience, and so that actually increased my appreciation for the movie.
Yeah.
And so I think you weren't on this episode, actually. Daniel was the one that was saying I should just rate the movie based on the movie,
yes,
not on my feelings and my experience.
Totally agree with
that. I know you do. So here's what Andrew wrote. I'm interested in how our actual experience of watching a movie, who we're with and what mood we're in, influences what we think of it. No doubt being engaged influences Matt's experience of Oz the Great and Powerful. That's also part of why Battlestar Galactica is my number one favorite show. My wife and I watched it while living in a freezing rented house the first winter we were married. That said, TV shows are probably judged more rightly by their quality since it's not usually viewed in a single sitting, though the recent rise of binge DVD and streaming marathons is changing that. Now, here's a question. How do you prefer to watch a show? Week by week or all at once after it's over?
Oh, definitely all at once.
Me too.
Yeah, that's no question.
All right, that's the last of the emails. I did have Noah, of course, but we're going to... He gets next week's entire section.
Yes, yes.
So we'll save that for next week, Noah.
So a couple voicemails. These are both from John Wilkerson. So
John.
Two. We'll play the first one first.
All right, here it comes.
Hey, guys, this is John Wilkerson. Ed, did you say you were going on a crusade? You and two Catholics in your crusades. You guys, seriously. Man, crusade, really? You think that we... that word's a little touchy with that word there. Anyway, guys, hope you guys are enjoying your spring up there in Minnesota with all your snow. Usually we get that kind of stuff here in New York, but... crossover was painful at times.
Yep.
And I think Koki there needs to adjust his attitude there a little bit. He's a little attitude adjustment. That's all. Bye.
Oh, this makes so much sense. I never knew that John was from New York. I just never paid attention to where he's from.
Yeah.
Now I get why he's always a little like, he gives us a little bit of jab, like a nice comment, then bam, bam. Thanks, John.
Well, I think he's dead right there.
About...
Colby needing an attitude adjustment.
Okay. Well, yeah. So I love this point about the Crusades. That didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah, well, just wait. Just wait. See what he has to say next.
Hey, guys. John Wilkerson again. I actually remembered why I called in the first time. I just needed to say that Ben is right.
What?
Okay, play the music.
Happily, John.
You don't have it loaded up.
I just got to switch windows here.
Ben is right.
I am right.
Yeah, Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
I am right.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
All of you who have disagreed with me, get in line, because it's apology time.
Okay, let's see.
So now continue on. He left a little pause in for the music.
That was nice.
Excellent. All right. Ben is right. And we are dealing a little bit with some oversaturation. And I think the sin that comes to mind is gluttony. We tend to, I think as geeks, we can obsess on things. And so the folks out there who are producing the content know that and take advantage of that. And so we will just kind of, we'll sometimes take it as much as what we want and stuff ourselves full of whatever until it's coming out of our ears. And that's a sin on our part. And I guess if you're causing someone to sin as well, that's a sin on their part. So yeah, I think this oversaturation of things is immoral. And so I'm not one for crusades. Maybe I'll join Ben on this one and go back to my Catholic roots there and join you in this crusade. Well, I don't have Catholic roots. Mother was Catholic, but that didn't make me Catholic. I was baptized. Anyway, that's all. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Wow.
Yeah, so... I'm right.
Ben is right. And if you are interested in...
I've been right a lot this episode.
I know. If you're interested in the seven deadly sins, which gluttony is one of them, our B-Squad, Strangers and Aliens, which you can find at strangersandaliens.com, they're doing a series on the seven deadly sins.
Oh, do you think we'll hear Casey on any of those?
I mean, likely, because I'm pretty positive they've done gluttony already, but they're not all the way through. So
yeah.
I think
that'd be a great... Have him make his debut in as part of the series.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Gotta have him on, guys. You bought him. He's yours.
Anything else, Ben?
That is it for me.
All right. So the next episode that you're going to hear is...
Didn't you have one more? Or no, you read it.
Yep. The next episode is going to be the time loop episode. And then episode 150, Ben.
Yeah.
So, and then we'll be kind of going back over some of what we're currently into and then our all-time favorite sci-fi things. So, but I think it's important to maybe preview episode 150 by listening to episode 149, which will be a time loop episode. Yeah. So if you want to listen or if you want to send in your listener feedback, what can they do?
612-4121 SFC.
Or an email.
Feedback at thescifichristian.com.
Oh, we are the Sci-Fi Christians. Signing off.
And close circuit to Taylor, now that you and I are friends again. Shoot me an email. I want to hear about what tobaccos you like and what pipes you smoke and everything. So shoot me an email, Taylor. Let's talk some pipes.
And if you'd like to talk about, you know, like favorite restaurants or fast food, that's my specialty.
He doesn't care about
fast food. No, not Taylor, just anybody. Oh, just anybody. I'm just really into fast food.
You got some thoughts on McDonald's? Email map. Yeah, Taylor, I want to compare some pipe notes with you.
Interesting. So, and goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.